bearing gifts. You are lucky enough to be tuned to the Sports Machine with Slim on this fine Thursday morning. You will be rewarded. Rewards are plenty. I don't think I need to get into the reasons behind why I have such a positive spirit of giving this morning, but just let it be known, the words that will soon flow from my mouth will be accurate predictions of what is going to happen in the future. Let me start with one. Tomorrow night, the Chicago Bulls will play the Miami Heat for the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. And I'm here to tell you all, the Chicago Bulls will win the basketball game tomorrow night. Write that down. Say, the Sports Machine with Slim. Slim told me this is going to happen. The Chicago Bulls are going to beat the Miami Heat tomorrow night. And it's not because Jimmy Butler went down and is expected now to be out for the entirety of the playoffs, which actually won't be very long at all. It's only going to be like one game, and it's not really the playoffs technically. I'll say it is, though. If you make the play-in game, whatever. Oh, history be darned. It used to just be 8 teams from each conference would make it in the NBA. Now we get 10. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a medal. Come on, you're all winners. Keep the chins up, kid. Jimmy Butler tried to will his team to a victory last night, but it just didn't happen. Philadelphia 76ers go on to win the game. I think it was 105-104. The interesting thing to note, Tyler Hero bangs in a three with 0.3 seconds left to bring it to a 105-104 score, meaning that Miami's only down by 1 point. And meaning that anybody who had the under loses because the over-under total was 208 or 208.5. And boom, drops in that three. And just the sequence of events that goes on leading up to that point. Like, that game, there is no way that game ever should have gone over. I feel your pain. I didn't bet it either way on that side of things. I just knew when that went in. I was like, boy, I wonder what the over-under was. And I went and looked at the total. 208.5. It's just insane. The madness associated with the world of gambling. The pain. The hurt. And yeah, some people, what are you talking about, man? I won last night. I had the over. It's like, you're good. This time you get the feeling of satisfaction. You get to experience the win. Congratulations for you. Next time, yeah, you won't be so lucky. Last night, that game never should have gone over. The refs, the way they called that game, insane. How physical they let those two teams play. And I was watching midway through the third period. I think I texted my brother Dave, and I was like thinking to myself, if Miami doesn't win this game tonight, like, they could never beat Philadelphia. Miami's coach, Eric Spoelstra, is so far and away the best coach in basketball. It's insane. It is not close at all. People can say, oh, Steve Kerr, this. Yeah, how'd you do this year? Steve Kerr was one of the very best basketball players in the history of man, bowing out as a 10 seed, 9 seed. You're out. You don't even get to make the playoffs, dude, with that team. Give me a break. Although Steve Kerr, I do think, is very good. I'll put him in the top five, definitely, of NBA coaches. And I'll put Nick Nurse in the top five, and what I saw last night lends credence to that belief, because his Philadelphia 76ers team was getting annihilated by the Miami Heat. Embarrassing. Jimmy Butler, I think, had 4 steals in the first quarter. Miami Heat comes out, starts playing a zone defense, an amoeba type of defense, very similar to the type of defense I will be coaching when my kids are in grade school, zone, and just teach how to play the zone appropriately, which most grown men in the NBA just are not able to do, and most college kids are not able to do it either. But the Miami Heat hire smart people to play for their basketball team, including the players. Intelligent players. Are they the most talented? No. But they are the smartest team in the NBA, without a doubt, in my mind. And they came out and sprung on the Sixers at 76ers on their home floor. And they just had no idea how to deal with that press/zone that Miami threw at him. And Miami caused the 76ers, I think they started the game 1-for-10 from three, airballing a three or two here and there, just no confidence until my man, as I was just saying, Nick Nurse, calls a timeout. There was a bad call by the ref, which there were many during the night, but whatever. He lights up the ref. He's getting animated. He goes to commercial. Come back from commercial. He's still fired up. And come out of that timeout. 76ers make a basket. And boy, you see their crowd. Rah! Yes! Philadelphia! They had been sitting on their hands for like a quarter prior to that. It was embarrassing. I'm watching the TV. I'm like, look at these fans. What a bunch of losers. It's similar to the Boston Celtics fans. They just don't know how to cheer. Their team gets down by 10, and oh, man, maybe we should just leave early to beat the traffic. Well, it's only the first quarter. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really having any fun. It's just like these fans that go to the games, they're just not real sports people. Well, you can get those non-sports people riled up into a frenzy if your coach gets mad at the ref and shows some energy, and then the players make a basket, and now it's contagious. And wouldn't you know, the 76ers, man, they come back from being down 15 to it's like a two-point lead after about 4 minutes. And I'm just like, look at how much of an impact the crowd has on this game and the energy level of the players. Insane how it just flipped because Nick Nurse called the timeout and got upset. He led the charge. You need a leader in the arena. I'm hoping the Boston Celtics and Boston Bruins have leaders in the arena this playoffs run for both of them, because they both have the talent to go all the way. And it would be an insane journey to be sitting here going, is Boston the king again? Basketball, they're going to win it all. Hockey, they're going to be the champs. How lucky it must be to live in New England and be a fan of the New England sports teams, just like it used to be until Tom Brady left. Now we've been in Loserville talking about who the Patriots are going to draft with the number three pick all day long on sports talk radio. Like a bunch of people have nothing better to do. You have no idea who's going number two. So what do we need to talk about? Who's going to go number three? I guess the Red Sox had a shutout victory last night. Tanner Houck? That's cool. But I'm NBA and NHL all the way. And my gifts are just starting to be given. Chicago Bulls will beat the Miami Heat tomorrow because of Coby White. I stayed up like a real true degenerate. I stayed up to watch that game late night last night. It was on after Miami, Philadelphia. And I watched Trae Young, the most despicable defensive basketball player I have ever seen. Pathetic. There is no way I would ever let that man play on my basketball team. I wouldn't let him play on my basketball team in Hampstead, New Hampshire basketball Sunday nights. I would have no interest in ever playing on that man's basketball team. He is such a front runner with no desire to play defense. And it's so evident when you watch. Like, he'll just one of these, ole, trying to reach in and pretend he's trying to steal the ball. Just lets a guy go right by him. So pathetic. If I was DeJounte Murray, like, and this is Atlanta's problem. Number one, Quinn Snyder. Those glasses that you wear, those red glasses, like, dude, you look so stupid. Take off the glasses. You just look like a total moron. And your team plays like a bunch of morons. You got run out of Utah. You're about to get run out of Atlanta, too. Have a spine. Have a backbone. And if Trae Young does his ole defense, put him on the bench and don't bring him back in. Oh, you can't do that. Why? Why? Because you can't lose by, like, 15 points in a playoff game, play-in game to Chicago? Like, you have to stay tuned for that. You need to keep Trae. We don't want to get Trae Young upset. Oh, God, no. We might not make the play-in. That's even better if you're in the lottery, you morons. It's like, of course you do. Trae Young is a losing player to have on your team. And DeJounte Murray, I don't think is. DeJounte Murray is 10 times the player as Trae Young. And he plays better defense. I'm not saying it's great, but that dude's going to like infect him with this. You don't need to play defense. It's like Quinn Snyder's just saying, just go out there and play. We'll see you. Yeah, I'll pick you up in 2 hours. Go shoot around at the gym and play pickup for a while. What do? Quinn Snyder? You sit there and lose. That's what you do. But I'm here to give winners, so stay tuned. The Sports Machine with Slim rolls on after these commercial breaks. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. More predictions? I will say I'm fully cognizant of the fact that my predictions aren't always correct. My predictions today, though, are going to be correct. I watched the Philadelphia 76ers game last night, and I watched Nicholas Batum put in, what, 6 threes? And some of them, man, he barely needs to touch that ball. Pretty cool how he can just catch him right in his shot, so smooth and fluid. Now, he doesn't always shoot like that. I will say he is one of the characters, though, that make me feel like Philadelphia is a legit threat in the East to the Celtics. Because I liked Nicholas Batum when he was on the Clippers. And there were a few years I thought they were coming out of the West with Kawhi and when they got Paul George. And I just liked Batum's contribution. He's quiet, he's smart, and he nails threes as a big man. He plays decent defense. And if you watched him last night, he's all over the court on defense. My goodness. And he banged in those threes during that run when they closed the gap down. He was a big reason why. He was the first guy, I think, to make the open three. They had the lid on the basket, and then he dropped one in, and I think he'd come down and drop another one in the possession after or something like that. And then he just was fired up from that point onward. But watching Joel Embiid go around, you kind of, I mean, you know something's wrong with the guy's leg. He just was not active. Philadelphia was moving in slow motion until that crowd lit him up for a while. And even when they got lit up, Tyrese Maxey, he didn't take over the game. Like, he had a couple of nice plays. Remember that one? He rises up in the air with his right hand. He starts to lose the ball, and he, like, kind of tips it up with the left, and it goes in. And the announcer's like, oh, my God, he do this. Dude, you know, it's just kind of luck, honestly. But he's athletic as heck. I do love me some Tyrese Maxey. But the point I walk away from that game with is, man, the 76ers just aren't smart. They're just not smart enough to do it. I know they have talent, and I know I switch my mind all the time. I see one game. I am a product of recency bias, hardcore. I think my brother Dave has used that term with me, just in general, with the public, saying, oh, you know, you have one mindset, and then you see a game, and all of a sudden that total switch of a mindset occurs. And that's happened for me for watching last night's game. The New York Knicks, I know from watching them play the Celtics 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, their team is together, they play hard, and they have an identity built around Jalen Brunson. He can get his shot off. He's tough. I think the Knicks have taken down the 76ers in the first round. And I guess that shouldn't be seen as a big-time upset because the Knicks are the number 2 seed, and now the 76ers are the number 7 seed. But the betting line is still darn close. I think it's minus 115 for Philly. Plus 105 for the Knicks, something like that. I think we're going to see the Knicks take down Philadelphia. And then I think the Knicks are going to take down Indiana. And we're going to have a New York Knicks-Boston Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. Yesterday, I was thinking the other way, more so 76ers and then maybe Indiana, just because the odds are long. But no, I'm jumping in on this Knicks team. I think they're together. I think they are going to beat the 76ers. That's the big change in my mindset. Yesterday, I thought the 76ers were going to beat the Knicks. Today, I'm switching. And I'm pretty confident that I'm right today. New York Knicks just, they've got an identity. The 76ers, when I watch them play last night, I don't know what their identity is. Even in their point of like maximum energy, Tyrese Maxey should be the guy during those moments who can just be like, I'm getting to the rim, I'm going to score. He didn't. It wasn't him that led that comeback yesterday. It was Nicholas Batum bombing in some threes. Buddy Hield made a three or two. I think he also drew up an air ball in a horrible time at the end of the game. But I just don't think that team's smart enough is what I'm watching. I like the collection of guys. But when you're starting Kyle Lowry, how did that even happen, honestly? Kyle Lowry, I thought, was a bench player. He's starting and playing major minutes last night. I didn't know that. I haven't watched them be playing enough, obviously. So you got an Embiid that doesn't look 100%. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Mitchell Robinson is a big dude. And the Hartenstein guy is pretty skilled. Like, Embiid's not just going to be able to wander. Hartenstein can make a 12-foot jumper. And so I think the New York Knicks big guys, who are not really spoken about at all, but are very good. If you watch them play the Celtics, those big guys dominated us. They destroyed Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford inside. They got all kinds of rebounds. They were blocking shots. They were the physical specimens on the court. We had our starters out there. It's the Celtics against the Knicks. And I know people say, well, Celtics, you know, we didn't really care at the end. I'm just telling you, dude, the night before, the game before, the Celtics had lost. They hadn't been losing two in a row. They came into that game against the Knicks at home. They had all the starters ready to play, and the Knicks kicked their rear end. And it wasn't just luck. It was the Knicks have an identity. The identity of their players, just like Ozzie said yesterday with Josh Hart, their players are scrappy, tough. Same as their coach. They listen to Tom Thibodeau. Eventually, maybe they won't. But for right now, they're in on it. And I think they're going to take down the 76ers. That's a gift from me to you. So my gifts are in order. Chicago Bulls are going to take out Miami tomorrow. The New York Knicks are going to take down Philly in their series. And then, of course, the Boston Bruins are going to take out Toronto in their series. The Bruins right now minus 125, and I'm here to tell you, I got an overview, and I'll just start it right now. The Bruins play Toronto starting on Saturday. You know what the record is for the Bruins against Toronto this year? 4-0. We beat them all four times. Back in November 2nd, we beat them 3-2 in the shootout. December 2nd at Toronto, we beat them 4-3 in overtime. Why do those two scores matter? I'll tell you why they matter is if you rewind the season, remember we were having problems winning games in overtime and shootouts. Remember, that was the big thing. We're blowing leads. We can't close it. We're losing in the overtime period. Everybody was complaining, and that was their major fallback as to why they think this Bruins team not very good. Well, back then, even though we were struggling, we beat Toronto in the shootout 3-2. We beat Toronto 4-3 in overtime. November 2nd to December 2nd. So even though we were struggling, we beat that team twice. Then March 4th, we go to Toronto. And I remember that game was a big one. We beat them 4-1 at Toronto. Then we come back three nights later at home, March 7th, we beat them 4-1. So the last two times we beat them 4-1. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? 4-0 against Toronto this year. I will say, for more statistics, Toronto, in their last four games of the season, they lost all four. 0-4 to finish up the season. 8-9 in their last 17 games. 4-5 against playoff teams within those 17 games. 4-5 was their record against playoff teams. The Boston Bruins, they lost three out of their last four. Not great. 10-7 in their last 17, and we were 5-4. Versus playoff teams. I got some Wikipedia knowledge I want to drop on all of you when we come back about Toronto's coach, because you know how much I love Jim Montgomery of the Bruins. Remember 3 months ago, I'm doing dedicated entire episodes on Jim Montgomery and how this guy, the coach of the Bruins, is a winner. Scores 3 goals in the third period of the national title game to win the Maine Blackbears a championship. That's who's at the helm. That's a winner, baby. Sheldon Keefe is the coach of Toronto. 43 years old. I see this on Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, interesting. 43 years old. He's young. Former player. But Keefe made his NHL debut on October 18th, year 2000, as in his first professional season. He was shortly demoted to the American Hockey League team, but was suspended without pay for failing to show up. In the summer of 2004, Keefe was acquired by the Phoenix Coyotes. He did not play a game for the Coyotes, but in the 2004-2005 season, Keefe played 4 games for the Utah Grizzlies. In September 2005, Keefe was re-signed as a restricted free agent by the Phoenix Coyotes and reassigned to San Antonio. After just 5 professional seasons, Keefe opted to end his professional career and continue his career coaching in hockey. So not much of a player, not much to fall back on as far as success as a player for failure to show up. That was pretty awesome. So sounds like a quitter to me. I'm going to give you the Toronto Maple Leafs record in the playoffs over the last few years with this guy, Sheldon Keefe, at the helm when we return from this commercial on The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire Talk Radio. Welcome back, everybody. The day of gifts. The Toronto Maple Leafs are not to be feared. My man Sheldon Keefe, who I will be sure to reference. Anyway, we can turn that music down quicker, Andrew. Thank you. Let's rock and roll with Sheldon Keefe's record in the playoffs the last 3 to 4 years, I will say. Last year, they had 111 points. For people that don't know this, the NHL standings this year, New York Rangers have 114 points, most in the NHL. Our Bruins had 109 points. Okay, last year, Toronto Maple Leafs had 111 points. They lost in the second round. Year before, they had 115 points, lost in the first round. Year before, lost in first round. Year before, lost in qualifying round. So this guy's not to be feared in the playoffs. That's a gift. And I've got a gift right now. My brother Dave is on the phone right now, and he's going to give us some knowledge. Maybe in the NBA, maybe in the NHL. Dave, what are you feeling today?
I'm feeling like I've never felt any better about a pistol guarantee as the Boston Celtics path to a 18th banner has never been easier.
And why is that? Yeah, it certainly is. I said it yesterday. I mean, the toughest 4 teams are in the other side of the bracket now.
the loss of Jimmy Butler for the first round of the playoffs, should Miami even beat Chicago? I mean, now you're talking about have to beat Miami or Chicago, beat Cleveland or Orlando, and then beat what I still think is likely to be a Philadelphia 76ers team. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's open on that end.
The last night's games, I don't know if you watched them, but boy, Philadelphia and Miami, just it looked like such a slugfest, whatever the right word is. Was that mostly because of the refs and the way they were calling the game, just letting everything go?
So, yeah, I think the refs, for sure. I mean, that was a little bit of a wrestling match, and I've seen 1 or 2 games. We watched the Celtics play, I think it was maybe the Bucks a month or so back, when for the first time in NBA history, a team didn't attempt a free throw game over the entire game. Yeah, I mean, it felt like the same crew doing that game last night. So don't know. It wasn't great basketball to watch, but it was an exciting finish.
It certainly was, especially when it came down to the gambling side of things, because Philly had been down the whole game, and they were favored by 5.5. And then at one point, they went up by 6 with like 30 seconds. So everybody was like, yeah, look at this. But no. Miami comes back and drains the 3 at the end to put the score over. So drama on the gambling side of things. As far as drama within the game itself, once you saw Butler go down, I mean, it kind of didn't matter. Enough for nothing, Dave, as I'm watching, I was thinking the same thing about the 76ers. I'm like, this is a play-in game, so there's some drama, and it's cool to see who's going to move on. But I wasn't feeling like either of those teams is going to win a first-round matchup against either the Celtics or the Knicks.
No, but I think the 76ers have a chance to potentially get better as Embiid. I mean, I can only imagine what Embiid was feeling, a lot of juice. Right, you know, I mean, he's getting a playoff game. He's come back. He played whatever the last 5 games of the regular season. But I think at that point, there's a lot of excitement. So he looked gassed 6 minutes into that game. And maybe the situation plays a little bit into it. I don't know. But I think, like, that's a team that can get better. I think he can get his win. So I think by maybe game 3 or 4 of this first-round series, maybe he's able to find his stride and the 76ers become more dangerous.
You want to know the other issue too, Dave, is Miami is so well coached and such a smart team with how they play defense, like running double teams at Embiid and stuff out of nowhere. He's dribbling the ball and has no clue a guy from Miami's coming to steal it. Other teams in the NBA aren't as well coached and aren't as smart. So that's where you could see Philadelphia, like, look so much better simply because, like, other teams won't be able to play defense against Philly the way that Miami did. Like, if the Celtics try to play that zone against Philly, they're going to get crushed. The Celtics blow at the zone defense.
No doubt the Celtics do not play a good zone defense. Miami does, but the thing about the zone defense in the NBA is you have to find a way to get the shot that you want. And I felt like early on the Sixers weren't able to do that. They were kind of thrown off. They hadn't seen that. But the biggest play of the game was against that zone. It was Joel Embiid finding Kelly Oubre under the hoop for the and one to give them the lead with maybe a minute or so left in the game. And that came off of really what I thought was a terrible double team of Joel Embiid at the top of the key. There's no reason to double him up there. But he had seen it over the course of the game enough so that they knew, okay, this is what we're going to do in this situation. And he found Oubre right in the middle of the paint. It was actually a terrible double team, and it cost Miami the game.
Well, I'm going to tell you one other play that I noticed that I just, from a coaching standpoint, I'm like, this should be easy. Is Embiid was out of the game, and I forget who it was for the 76ers, found a way to kind of drive into the middle, and they threw an alley-oop up to the center, who's the backup. I don't know if you remember the guy's name. I think it's Patrick something or other, but he just flushed down a huge dunk. And as I'm watching, I'm like, dude, wait a minute. Why couldn't they do that stuff at all when Embiid was in there?
Yeah, man, Embiid just doesn't have his legs. He was gassed. He was gassed 5 or 6 minutes into that game. Everybody, I mean, honestly, it felt like everybody was just watching the game. I think it was 4-2 with 7.5 minutes left or 8 minutes left in the first quarter. No scoring. I think everybody was really hustling defensively. But I think, like, that's what's good for Philadelphia as they move on to the next series against the Knicks. The Knicks are a really slow-paced team. So Joel Embiid's not going to have to run up and down the floor, so he's going to be able to get his legs going. I just think that Philadelphia is still very dangerous.
It's an awesome series. Yeah, Paul Reed is the backup center for Philadelphia, which just gave a different look. Embiid, I mean, we'll see if he can do better as this next series goes on against the Knicks. I will say, though, Mitchell Robinson's going to be a very tough matchup against him.
They got size on the Knicks, but nobody's going to push Joel Embiid around. You know, so that's the 76ers' advantage, and the fact that New York wants to play a slow-it-down game is to their advantage. Last night was not a good look. I think even this morning there's a lot of people. I think Philadelphia is no longer dangerous. A lot of people are starting to pencil through New York. I'm just going to caution you. You know, when the best player on the floor is still working his way back into game shape, if he finds his legs in the next game or two, the Knicks can't beat Philadelphia.
It's the recency bias thing I talked about earlier. And the coaching matters because Nick Nurse is a heck of a coach, too, for Philadelphia. And I think he's the main reason why they won that game last night, with him getting upset with the refs and getting the crowd into it. And he totally turned the momentum around. It started with Nick Nurse. He's a good X's and O's guy. I know he wasn't prepared last night for that Miami zone, obviously, because his players weren't prepared at all. But as a series goes along, I'm fully confident that he's capable of making the right adjustments and getting one-on-one matchups, like you say, for Embiid and figuring out how to best use the big guy. So that's I predict that's going seven games. I mean, if you had to say today, who do you think is going to win that series?
I like Philadelphia, and it's for the coaching. I think that matters. Like, I like Thibodeau. I think he's a good coach too. But Nick Nurse is a proven commodity. He's found a way to win with what I think was maybe a team with less talent. The year that he did win in Toronto, he won a championship. I don't feel like he had the most talented team in the league that year. But that play that we talked about just a minute ago, that's coaching, right? With the double team on Embiid, I have no doubt that Nick Nurse had told him, hey, listen, we can make the easy pass. If you go back and you watch the play, Batum is open to the right for a three. But if you're Joel Embiid, you can't just make the easy pass. That's the easy pass. It's the rotation they want. There has to be the fear of that pass. And then what happens is you get the double switch on the side. Batum ran one way, Kelly Oubre ran the other, and then as soon as Joel Embiid comes up with the ball, Kelly Oubre comes to the middle of the paint, and that's where the ball goes. It was just the threat of that ball going to Batum, and I have no doubt that's a Nick Nurse reaction.
It was a split second late with the pass, actually, because Oubre was open beforehand, and it almost got stolen, but it didn't. It got through there, and hey, the Knicks move on. Good for them. Miami, Jimmy Butler goes down. Of course, everybody's probably going to jump on the Miami or off the Miami bandwagon, but I would say their players are still going to play hard. They're a smart, aggressive defensive team. I just really think that the Chicago Bulls are under the radar with Coby White right now. Watching that, I just think he's a leader that everybody is kind of turning to and embracing, and I think he's smart. I really liked him in North Carolina coming out of the draft. I wanted to draft him, actually. I like that guy a lot. Now, he didn't perform right away. It's taken him a while, but now he's a heck of a player, Dave. I think he's going to be second for most improved in the NBA.
He was incredible last night. I mean, career high playoff play-in game, right? I think the second highest points ever scored in a play-in game next to Tatum. I mean, he was on fire, and there's no doubt guards take a little bit longer to progress in the NBA. So, I mean, maybe he's finding the stride. Maybe Chicago's found somebody to settle that franchise in for at least a decent run over the next handful of years.
He's just a guy who out on the court is, and I heard the interviews, I saw it on Twitter this morning. He's going over to this guy, hey, Javonte Green, hey, you need to hold your spot, you need to do this. He's going to Andre Drummond, hey, what are you going over here for? You need to go and do that. Like, he's smart in telling everybody where to go and what to do. And if that type of guy is an actual leader that the other players like, good stuff can happen, and good stuff's going to happen tomorrow night. Will there be more good stuff here today on the Sports Machine with Slim as we roll into segment four? Yes, I think there will be. The call signals here, if that's the right way to say it, on the radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is New Hampshire Talk Radio. NHL playoff odds. Very competitive series lining up. I got the numbers right here. Let's go over them. As I told you, the Bruins minus 125 to win their series. The Florida Panthers play Tampa Bay in a pretty cool first-round matchup. That's the 2-7 matchup. This is where the Bruins could have been. Playing Tampa Bay first round. You got Florida minus 170. Tampa Bay plus 145. Florida, you're defending Eastern Conference champs. Obviously, people are going to like them over the Tampa Bay in this series just because they're the number two seed. They got the home ice advantage. But the way Tampa finished up the year, I mean, we were all afraid of them, right? I didn't really want to play Tampa Bay in the first round. I remember Thomas Polk a couple times saying, well, I'd rather not play Tampa Bay if we could avoid it. Well, good. We avoided it. How lucky are both Boston teams? Seriously. The Celtics, I mean, you could not have written this up any better. The 76ers go in. They win the play-in yesterday in a game that they definitely should have lost. And Jimmy Butler gets hurt at the end of the game. So now Miami, with a hurt Jimmy Butler or an out Jimmy Butler, would potentially be the 8th seed. Or my hero team here, the Chicago Bulls, who I think is going to beat Miami. Well, I don't really think the Chicago Bulls are going to be a threat to us. Kobe White will be a tough guy to stop. But we got guys much taller than him. Derek White is probably a real good matchup there, or Drew Holiday, honestly. So, I mean, you're going to play the... Then you play the winner of the Orlando-Cleveland series? This is insanity. And in hockey, the Bruins could have played that Washington team, who I want no part of, because they're huge and physical. We could have played Tampa Bay, who... I mean, has won a couple of Stanley Cups in the last few years. And they're playing good at the end of the season. Or we could play Toronto. So, Toronto, we're 4-0 against. I told you the last two times we played them, we beat them 4-1. Toronto lost their last four games of the year. I mean, you tell me, who would you rather play? And then in the second round... Hey, we have home ice. No, we don't have home ice. Either way, whatever. Tampa Bay might beat Florida. Easily. I mean, if I'm playing that series, I'm playing Tampa Bay because it's plus 145. They can beat Florida. Why can't all of a sudden Florida is this incredible juggernaut team? Because last year they played so great. I don't know. Last few times we played Florida, I think we looked pretty darn good against them. New York Rangers, minus 450 against Washington, plus 340. I mean, I'm not listing this in my gifts section as I am with the Bulls tomorrow, the New York Knicks to win the series, and the Boston Bruins. I know Dave said 76ers. And yesterday, if you rewind the tape, I was saying 76ers too. But this is the day of gifts. So today is the day you got to pay attention to. What I'm saying, not the gifts from my brother Dave, the gifts from me. The Bruins are going to win their series. And the Knicks, they're just on top of the world right now, playing together tight. And if you watch Kobe White's post-game interview yesterday, as they speak about like tough, together, and tight, he says, the interviewer asks him, well, what do you think about the game or the series coming up, the game against the Miami Heat? Well, we know they're junkyard dogs. It's going to be a dog fight. Very first thing he says. Very first thing, talking about just how tough it's going to be, a dog fight. So the mentality for the leader of the Chicago Bulls is in the right spot. That's why I'm telling you the Bulls are going to win that game. You see that defensive effort last night by the Atlanta Hawks? Like, Kobe White's the guy going to go into the timeout and make sure that effort level gets amped up. In the Atlanta Hawks huddle last night, who's going to step up and talk like that? Jonte Murray. I guess, but he's no defensive player. Clint Capella? Bogdanovich? The guy with the glasses? Quinn Snyder with his red glasses? And his hair that looks like he should be out like surfing? Guy doesn't look like a basketball coach. He's not. He's imitating a basketball coach. That's why his team plays no defense. There's no reason why the Atlanta Hawks couldn't be somewhat good if they had a capable organization of like running things over there. DeAndre Hunter is a player. They got him standing out jacking up threes. Like, what's the point of this dude? He has some ability. Clint Capella has value in the trade market. They got Jonte Murray, who, from a scoring standpoint, get out of here, dude. That guy's a top 10 scorer in the league. Like, he's not far behind Tatum, honestly. He might even be as good of him as him from a scoring standpoint. That guy can get to the hoop. But you want Trae Young to have the ball. I got news for you. At the end of the first quarter, I wrote this down in my notebook. It's 40-22. Chicago Bulls are winning 40-22 against Atlanta. Trae Young played the whole first quarter. He goes to the bench. immediately coming out to start the second period, it's 40-28. So Atlanta scored six points in a row. Then Alex Caruso gets hurt when Andre Drummond runs right into him. Now all of a sudden the score is 40-36. It was 40-22 at the end of the first period. They put Trae Young to the bench. Atlanta goes ahead and scores 14 points in a row, and goggles glasses guy calls a time with 8:09 left in the second period, decides to put Trae Young back in. He let him sit for 3 minutes and change. The team had gone on a 14-0 run as soon as the guy went to the bench, and glasses, Quinn Snyder, who should be fired today, puts Trae Young back in the game. And you just can instantly see that downward slope because the guy plays no defense and not for nothing. He's so loosey-goosey with the ball. There were like three times at least last night he just threw the ball to the other team. So you could say, these two teams stink. I'd agree with you. Oh, these two teams, they're not going to beat Miami. Miami went to the finals last year, even without Jimmy Butler. It's one player. Kobe White is the guy. He's the leader. They win that game last night. His teammates are all dapping him up. They're all over the guy. Hey, congratulations. He is the leader. And now he's going into Miami. And how did Miami play so well against Philly? Playing the zone, playing just a smart defensive game plan. I got news for you. The Chicago Bulls are built in a different way. They're faster. They're smaller with penetrators. They got multiple penetrators. And Kobe White is just smart. Smarter than the guys handling the ball for the 76ers last night. That defense that Miami's going to try to play, it's not going to work against him. Adding on top of it the fact that Miami knows, what do you want to play so hard? You want to go play the Boston Celtics in a couple days? Because the series starts up on Sunday. The winner of this game tomorrow plays the Celtics. Miami or Chicago? You think Miami wants to go and play the Celtics without Jimmy Butler? Dude, they're going to lose by 50 every game. The Celtics want to smoke the Miami Heat. I don't care what Eric Spoelstra's drawn up in his basement for plays. They have zero chance to beat the Celtics in the first round. They're not even going to get there because their players know it. Their leader is Jimmy Butler. He's the dog. There's a new dog in town. Kobe White's coming into Miami tomorrow night and is going to eliminate that team. That's going to happen, and I'm giving it to you. And the fun thing is I'm not betting. So you can be assured it's coming in. Colorado in the Western Conference for the NHL, -135 favorites over Winnipeg. I will say I watched the Bruins play Winnipeg this year. I thought Winnipeg's pretty good. Winnipeg's a dangerous team. They're all dangerous out there, though. Vancouver -150 against Nashville, +130. Nashville can win that series. Carolina in the Eastern Conference, -340 against the Islanders, +280. I got no idea. That one I have no idea. My ideas and my gifts are sticking with the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. The New York Knicks take out the 76ers. And our Boston Bruins will dispose of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Take it to the bank. The sports machine with Slim Guarantee on WKXL Radio. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it. NHTalkRadio.com.